Please take your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah 42, verses 1 through 6. It says here, "Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least, even unto the greatest, came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." Here we have a group of people making a decision. The children of Israel had gone into captivity, but there were people that were left in the land. And the king had set up Gedaliah over them. Gedaliah seemed to be a man that was making wise decisions. The people came back. Many people came back, gathered around Gedaliah. And there was some prosperity in the land. So there was some seeming prosperity that took place in the land. It says in, chapter 40, verse number 12, under Gedaliah, it says, "Even all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven, and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah, unto Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much." So there was some seemingly blessing in the land under Gedaliah, but there was another man that rose up, and came in and killed Gedaliah. And one man, Johanan, the son of Kareah, tried to warn Gedaliah of what he believed Ishmael was going to do. But Gedaliah did not believe that Johanan was correct, but then Gedaliah ended up being killed. And here we come to chapter, and there's we come to chapter 42, and the people are asking Jeremiah, what should we do? Here, this man was killed. They slain Gedaliah. This is the one that the king of Babylon made governor in the land. And they were afraid. And they were wondering, what should we do? And they come to Jeremiah and they said, go to the Lord for us. Ask him what we should do. And whatever he says we're supposed to do, we'll obey him. Have you ever made a decision, and in many ways you had good intentions of keeping that decision, but 10 days later, you no longer were following through with the decision that you made? Maybe it was less than that. I know for myself, it's happened to me. It's probably happened to many here. That we make decisions and then we don't follow through with them. You know, decisions in life can be disastrous. In January of, I believe, January 28th of 1986. Does anybody remember what took place on that day? All right, the Challenger exploded. All right, but, you know, the Challenger explosion could have been avoided. In fact, there was a man that tried to get them to not allow the Challenger to take off. One of the men that was behind the making of the rockets that propelled, I believe, the Challenger, his name was, I don't know if I can pronounce his last name correctly, but Roger Boisjoli, had done some investigation on one of the rockets that had been earlier launched and realized that the O-rings in the colder temperatures did not, something to do with the expansion did not happen properly in the cold temperatures. And when they had done the test flight, it was a cooler day, and then he saw the, and he had been talking to the company, I believe, about different things and how this needed to be addressed. And then when he saw the weather forecast for the day and how cold it was going to get the night before that the Challenger took off, he contacted the company, and he tried, and the company contacted NASA, but the company didn't listen to his warnings. And instead, they suggested to NASA that it'd be fine for it to take off, and it ended up blowing up. You know, a disastrous decision. 7 people lost their lives. You know, you think that if he could have, spoke to the people individually that were going on that flight of the concerns that he had, do you think that maybe there would have been a different outcome? Disastrous decisions. We can make disastrous decisions. Well, here, it seems like they're making a very good decision. But if you come to chapter 43, it says in chapter 43, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah." I mean, this man at one time had actually warned the previous king of what was going to take place. "And all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Barak the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah." You know, they had just said, in fact, it says in verse number 7 that they had, of the previous chapter, they had come to Jeremiah, they asked this, and it came to Jeremiah, praised the Lord. It says, "And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah." So 10 days later, Jeremiah brings them what the Lord said. But guess what? They didn't follow it. And they had just said, I read the verses there. I mean, they were pretty adamant, weren't they, that they were going to do what? They were going to obey God. You know, it says in verse 6, "Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." But then Jeremiah says, you need to stay in Egypt. I mean, you need to stay in Judah. You know, you're not supposed to go down in the land of Egypt. You need to stay in the land of Judah. But they do not obey. What are some of the... Here they made a seemingly good decision. And it was a good decision. But they didn't follow through with it. But what are some reasons that we don't follow through with the right decisions in our lives? Well, I believe 3 reasons why we don't keep our decisions, or 3 things that can lead to disastrous decisions. First of all is fear. It says in Jeremiah 41, verse 18, right before they came to Jeremiah, notice what it says. Let's begin in verse number 17. "And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. You know, one reason we don't keep decisions is because of fear. Here, these people were afraid. They weren't trusting God. They were afraid of what the king of Babylon was going to do them. In one sense, they come to the Lord. But it seems like in one way they had already decided, they were already kind of had the pathway going down to Egypt, as it says in the end of verse 17. But they were afraid. Fear. You know, fear can paralyze us. My dad gave the illustration of Sammy Tippett as he, on the men's night, as he was climbing up that mountain and his hand reaches a crevice of a rock, and I think he looked and he couldn't move. And the other people that were with him climbing that mountain had to come up and act like, literally, I believe, pry his hands off the mountain, off the rock, to get him to move. He was paralyzed. And in fact, I read something about physical paralysis-like symptoms that can happen because of fear. It says, the second issue is a bit more complex. Nearly every movement your body makes is automatic. Your mind sends signals down to your nerves for how to move, and you move them. When you walk, even if you are thinking about walking, you generally don't focus on literally each muscle movement one at a time. Walking, like all movements, are unconscious and controlled by your mind. When someone suffers from anxiety, they can focus so heavily on the way their body feels that they actually make these movements conscious. Essentially, your movements aren't controlled automatically anymore, and you have to think about each and every muscle you need to move in order to get them active. That's considerably harder than it sounds, and so in the end, you may find that a particular muscle or area of your body isn't moving the way you expect it to. And why? Because of fear, anxiety, and people, when we're afraid, it causes us to disobey God. You know, the Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. Hebrews chapter 13 End of verse 5, it talks about how he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then notice verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As I think of my own life, how often do I fear what people are going to think or how they're going to respond? Fear, it keeps us from following through with the decisions that we make. Jeremiah's proclamation that they stay in Judah required that they overcome their fears. They had to overcome their human reasoning and submit to divine revelation. They had to overcome their human reasoning and submit to divine revelation. But their fear, their human reasoning. Look at what happened to the governor of the land. What's the king of Babylon going to do to us now if we stay here? We better get out of here. But God said stay. But they were afraid. You know, we can be afraid of friends. We can be afraid of relatives. We can be afraid of co-workers. And it can cause us to make the wrong decision, even when we intend to make the right decision. You know, we can have fear maybe in a financial decision. We can have fear maybe in a family decision. Because we're thinking along the lines of human reasoning, and we're allowing the fear to get our way. You think of Numbers chapter 13, a classic illustration, how the 10 spies were what? They were afraid. They're afraid of the giants. They're afraid of the walled cities. And they what? They disobeyed God. You know, you think of a positive illustration, David and Goliath. You know, David wasn't afraid. Why? Because he was trusting in the past working of God in his life, who had delivered him from the lion and from the bear. But then negatively, you think of all the other men. They were basing whether they were going to go out against Goliath on the fact that he was what? He was a lot bigger than they were. They had no chance humanly against him. And fear will keep us from the decisions that God wants us to make. And that's what took place. They were, in many ways, they had intentions of doing what was right. but they had underlying fear that they had never taken care of in their lives. And it caused them to make the wrong decision. Are you living by fear tonight? Or are you living by faith? Are you living by human reasoning or divine revelation? But what's another reason that they didn't follow through with the decision that they had? If you go back to Jeremiah chapter 43. So Jeremiah declares what they should do. You know, he says in 42 verse 15, "And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. And so shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there." And they can, you continue on to read. But in chapter 43, Jeremiah declares what's going to happen, what they should do. But it says in Jeremiah 43, verse 2, "Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah," and notice his next phrase, "and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely." You know, what can cause us to make the wrong decisions in life, even when we're intending, have some intentions of making the right decision? I mean, you read what they said in chapter 42. I read what they said. Pride. Pride will cause us to make the wrong decisions. And notice how some of this pride was evidenced. It's evidenced as they attack the character of Jeremiah. They say, "Thou speakest falsely." What do they accuse Jeremiah? They accuse Jeremiah of lying. But in actuality, who is the one that was speaking the truth? Who was one of the most truthful people around in Israel in that day? It was Jeremiah. He was the one that was declaring the will of the Lord. He was the one that said in verse 40, Jeremiah 42, verse 4, what does he say at the end of the verse? "That whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you." You know, Jeremiah tells them the truth. He tells them what God wants them to do. But yet, what do they accuse him of? They accuse him of lying. So they attack his character. Not only do they attack his character, but they also... Well, before we... continue on. They attack his motives. And actually, it says here in verse number 3, it says, "But Barak, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on..." Actually, there, I guess in a way they're attacking Barak here. "The son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon." You know, here's this plot that Barak has established so that he might kill us. You know, he can finally get rid of us. And you know what? We're not going to fall for it. Well, maybe they thought they had things figured out, but they didn't. And here, there's character being Jeremiah's character. There's motives here of Barak being attacked. And most likely, they probably lumped Jeremiah in with that. And it was their pride. You know, we're better than you, Jeremiah. We don't need to listen to you. You know, and high opinion of ourselves will cause us to resist or downplay the instrument that God is using to convey the message. You know, have you ever done this when maybe something convicted you? You know, that somebody said, or maybe you heard a preacher say something and it convicted you, but, you know, you really didn't want to change that area of your life. And you said, well, they just got that from so-and-so. And so you downplayed the conviction by saying, well, they just got that from so-and-so. Well, that's what they did here. You just got that from Barak. Or maybe you said, well, what they're really actually, you know, what they're actually trying to do is this. And instead of just taking the truth that God was delivering through His messenger, through His vessel, you tried to divert the attention some other way. You know, children sometimes, they won't obey, and they think of their parents, well, they're just trying to make my life miserable. You know, was Jeremiah trying to make their life miserable? Was he the one that was trying to, was he really actually trying to cause them to die? No, he was telling them the way of life. But they were too proud to accept what Jeremiah was telling them. Pride will keep us from the wrong decisions. Think of David again. You know, David went out to fight Goliath. Fear was not holding him back. You know, what did they think of what they accused David of, though? He stood up for what was right. What did they accuse him of? You're being proud. You know, you're being proud. This is why you're standing up. This is why you're trying to go out and fight Goliath, because of your pride. Well, it wasn't because of his pride, because he was trusting God. So pride can also keep us from making the right decision. You know, there's been some, you know, there are people out west that have had some problems with bisons. And, you know, there's signs out there, you know, warning, many visitors have been gored by buffalo. These animals may appear tame, but are wild, unpredictable, and dangerous. Do not approach buffalo. You know, I got a sign, a warning sign up here. And yet there's people that do what? There's people that still go and try to, you know, there's reports, I don't know if I have the page up here, of people that, you know, go a few feet from these buffalo trying to, you know, take pictures of them. And the buffalo attacks them. And there's all, yeah, maybe you're distracted by a cat out there as we're talking about buffaloes. You know, so there, you know, people in Yellowstone National Park trying to, you know, get too close to these buffalo, and then they have problems. And you think, you know, maybe they didn't see the sign, but I think these, you know, they have signs, or they even, I think, hand out brochures. And whether they think, they don't heed the warning signs. Yeah, they don't. Maybe they think the Park Service doesn't know what they're talking about. Well, what's another reason here? Well, notice what the Word of God says about these people in Jeremiah chapter 42, in verse 19 and verse 20. It says, "The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts." You dissembled in your hearts. My Bible is on the side there. You have used deceit against your souls. You dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. You know, there's fear. There's pride. And there's also deception. And really, I think behind this, the reason for this deception is their self-will that has never been conquered. These people were adamant on going down to Egypt. But, you know, maybe inside there was this tug, well, we want God's approval on what we're doing. You know, and have you ever made a decision in life where it's like, you really want to do something, but you know you need to ask God about what you should do. So you say, well, I better pray about this one. But you pray about it with full intentions that, I mean, really, if you're honest, you know that the only answer you're really going to accept is the answer that you want to hear. You know, that's really, I think, what these people were doing. There was a deceptive self-will here. They had a predetermined course of action, We say we will obey God many times, but we only will obey Him if He tells us to do what we want to do. And you know, if we're really going to make real decisions, we have to have a what? We have to have a surrendered will at the outset. We can't approach, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know, we can say that all we want. But if we don't do what God wants to do, we're what? James 1, we're deceiving ourselves. And so there was a deceptive self-will. You know, the heart is deceitful, it says in the book of 17, verse 9, and above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And these people, what? They deceived themselves. They said, we'll do whatever the Lord tells us to do. But what were they doing? They were deceiving themselves. You know, have you deceived yourself? You know, thinking, I've surrendered my life to God, but you aren't doing what God wants you to do? Have you deceived yourself into thinking, you know, I'm going to make that decision, but then really inside there's self-will that hasn't been defeated? You know, what type of stipulations are you putting on what God wants you to do in your life? You know, we can make great and glowing decisions in our life. But if there's self-will still there that hasn't been conquered, we need to deal with that self-will inside us so that we will wholly follow the Lord. We need to deal with that pride that belittles the messenger that God has sent. So we can come up with our own that pride that allows us to come up with excuses of why we don't need to do what was said. That needs to be taken care of. We need to deal with the fear that's hindering us from going forward for God. You know, there's things that will make disastrous decisions in our life. And you know, there's the hymn, O Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. And the last stanza, it says, O Jesus, Thou hast promised to all who follow Thee that where Thou art in glory, there shall Thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Then at that last phrase, O give me grace to follow my master and my friend. And you know, there's underlying issues that need to be dealt with, and ultimately we need to realize that we need the grace of God. As Christ said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man that was surrendered to God. You know, God resisteth the proud, but giveth what? Grace to the humble. Here's a group of people in Jeremiah's day. They didn't have humility. The Bible says they were proud. But you know what? We need God's grace tonight. And His grace is sufficient. If we will set aside, if we will just set aside our own wills and surrender them to the will of God and allow His grace to enable us to do His perfect will. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, I know how often I have failed in my life. And Lord, I just pray that You would help each one of us tonight to be able to have the honesty that's required. Lord, to conquer the self-deception of our own hearts. And Lord, may Your Spirit work in our hearts. Lord, may You speak to our hearts. And Lord, maybe there's an issue that's confronting us tonight are various issues confronting various people. Lord, you know what they are, and may your Spirit minister to our hearts. And Lord, may we set aside the disastrous self-will that we have. Lord, may we simply cling to your grace, which is sufficient to lift us up. And Lord, I just pray that you would do that working in each one of our hearts, in my own heart tonight. Lord, so that we would not make such a disastrous decision like these people made. Lord, and many of them ended up dying. And Lord, they didn't have to, because they followed their way instead of your way. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.